I'm sorry to bother you. Thank you.
Glennon, is that, are we on?
We're all set, sir.
Please be attentive. It is 12:47. We are back in the on the record in the FRM matter, so-called. Attorney Spill or Attorney Flossie, do we have anything preliminarily this afternoon?
We do. As we spoke about to you off the record, we have some statements that we would like to submit into the record. They are statements. They are the memorandums written after the Attorney General interviewed several people. There's 15 separate interviews contained in here. Would you like me to name the people interviewed?
Yes, I would.
The first one is June 11, 2010, interview by Richard Head and Christopher Marshall of Mr. Peter Hildreth. The next one is a March 25th, 2010 interview, again by J. Christopher Marshall and Richard Head of the Attorney General's Office, interviewing Lori Cloutier, which I understand is to be a banking department auditor. There's a February 23rd, 2010 interview of Barry Glennon, Deputy Director of Securities. Again, these are all by Mr. Richard Head and J. Christopher Marshall for all of these. Actually, I take that back. This is from Richard Head and a M. Kristen Spath. This is an interview of Susan Gorman on March 4th, 2010.
Thank you very much.
April 27th, 2010, interview by Christopher Marshall again and Richard Head again of Kimothy Griffin, an employee of the banking department. April 27th, 2010, interview of Jeffrey Spill, conducted by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head again. June 1st, 2010, interview of Christopher Marshall and Richard Head of Peter Roth, which I understand to be a senior assistant attorney general. A May 5th, 2010, interview conducted by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head, interviewing Ron and Jackie Stone. A May 5th, 2010 interview conducted by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head, interview of Donna Susie. I'm just trying to see exactly what her position is, and I don't see it offhand. I believe she worked for banking.
She was an attorney for banking.
I believe I
know. An attorney for banking. April 27, 2010, interview of by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head of James Shepherd, another employee of banking. April 30th, 2010, interview by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head of Mary Gerda from banking. March 11, 2010, interview conducted by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head of Steve Lattice. March 17, 2010, interview conducted by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head, interview of Christopher Lent. Interview by Christopher Marshall and Richard Head again, April 1st, 2010, interview of Carrie Molin. And this is from Kristen Blanchett. It's addressed to Richard Head, and it is a phone log of several interviews that Ms. Blanchett had with a few of the lenders. Would you like me to name the lenders that are interviewed?
No, that's fine. You describe these as interviews. Is it fair to say that they are, in fact, interviews and they are not anything that is under oath?
As far as I understand them, these are memorandums written after these people interview them, and they're not under oath.
Pursuant to discussion, not pursuant to any affirmation of an oath. Is that correct?
As far as I understand, yes. And there is only one document we're not giving you today that encompasses these. There were 16 originally. There's one that we're holding behind that we plan to give you on Monday. It's the interview of Chris Carter. And the reason why we wish to hold this behind is because we want to give this to you once we have our statement to go with it. In other words, we just have to hold off till Monday for this last one.
I'm going to accept those documents. I'm going to accept them, but not at this point accept them as evidence. I'm going to accept them and review them, and it may lead me to finding additional witnesses within that. It also may lead me to accepting them as evidence, too, if I find sufficient probative value in there. But in any event, I will accept them today, but I'm not going to mark them as evidence, and they're not going to become part of the record right now.
Is that including the Chris Carter interview that we asked to hold off till Monday? Would you like that now as well?
You can hold that. You can do what your process is on that.
So we'll turn over the 15 out of the 16 to you right now.
I'm going to accept the 15. I'm going to review the 15. I may yet accept them as evidence, but today I'm not necessarily.
I redacted one of the interviews because there was some personal information on that.
One of my initial orders was for redaction whenever there was any possibility of any compromise of somebody's personal identity information. And that's appropriate on all these cases.
He had his license for 2 months.
One more matter. During the recess, we looked up the CRD information on Mr. Farrer to find out his licensing with securities to sort of clarify what was testified earlier today. And we have indications here we'd like to submit into evidence that shows that he had his license for two months.
What's the source of that information?
That's FINRA's Financial Industry National Regulatory Association's central database that tracks all broker-dealer agent and broker-dealer licenses in the country.
That's 67. Anything else preliminary this afternoon?
No, sir.
Give me just a minute. Remind you, Mr. Farrer, that this is being recorded and you remain under oath.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Spill.
I have some additional questions. Thank you. After the questions, we'll present a PowerPoint and ask some questions of Mr. Farrer with respect to the PowerPoint.
And the PowerPoint was prepared by?
Mr. Forcier and has, I believe, already been introduced.
Okay.
It's the same PowerPoint that we had. Earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Is Mr. Steve Watkins a relation of yours?
He's a cousin.
Okay. And did you have an involvement with him during Financial Resources history?
Yes. He was one of the private lenders.
Do you have any other role with the company other than as a lender?
No.
With respect to the interest rates that you had testified to earlier, why were borrowers willing to pay higher rates as opposed to conventional rates?
As a broad statement, commercial lending is always at higher rates. And in addition to that, there would be issues with, for example, there could be credit dings, could be income verification issues. They're called not only hard money, they're also called subprime mortgages.
Now, in the late 2000s, what was happening to the subprime mortgage market?
It effectively collapsed in the late 2000s on the residential side.
Okay, when you say collapse, did it affect traditional subprime mortgage lenders?
Yes.
And how did it affect them?
They went out of business. A great deal of them went out of business.
And how did that affect your business?
I heard it because we did not have the ability to do takeout financing for these borrowers, long-term financing for these borrowers.
So did that mean that borrowers were in the loans longer than they normally would have been?
Yes.
Did Financial Resources Mortgage receive referrals of borrowers from other loan brokers?
Yes.
How did that work?
We had numerous loan brokers across the country that would refer borrowers to us.
And when you say we, who is the we?
Financial Resources. had numbers.
Were they employees of the company?
They were not.
How were they compensated?
1099.
And about what percentage of borrowers were accepted as potential borrowers for financial resources?
Maybe 10 to 20%, something in that range there.
In the due diligence process that you testified to earlier, did you ask lenders to check your references?
I had lenders ask about Better Business Bureau and stuff like that. From time to time, they would, and I would say check with the Better Business Bureau.
When lenders were interested in checking your background, did you direct them to any particular reference other than Better Business Bureau?
There was a few lenders that agreed to be references. I don't recall any specific names. And I believe that was all. That's all that I can recall that I directed them to.
Did you use your New Hampshire bank license, or licenses, as a form of reference?
I don't recall that I did or didn't. If somebody had asked, I certainly would have provided a copy of it. We had it on the wall.
How was CLNM compensated for loan servicing?
They would get, it was, I believe, $500 or 0.5% of the loan amount, whichever was greater.
And when lenders sent money to CLNM for a particular loan, how was the check made out?
To CLNM.
Did you have direct access to CLNM's bank account?
No. I had no signing authority or anything on CLNM's bank account.
And the money that was sent to CLNM by a check, did you consider that to be lender money or CLM money?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
In other words, was CLNM holding that money for the lenders?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that it was being held in trust?
I don't know what the term means, but...
Did you believe CLNM to be a fiduciary and had a duty to safeguard that money?
Yes.
But the account at the bank wasn't, in fact, a trust account.
To my knowledge, it was just a regular business account.
And again, the lending that you did through CLNM, just so we're clear, the mortgages were not made out to CLNM, they were made out to the various lenders, correct?
That is correct.
With respect to the interest reserve, were the borrowers aware that they would be paying, funding that?
Yes, it was on the HUD settlement statement. They were aware up front, but it was also in the closing documents.
Was it also in your solicitations?
I believe so.
And it was, in fact, referenced on the HUD 1 closing documents, correct?
Yes, sir.
Were the closing documents sent to the lenders?
Yes.
Including the HUD ones?
Yes.
And the money that you took in the line of credit from CLNM, was that CLNM money or lender money?
Lender money.
Was some of it paid back?
Yes.
How much of it was paid back?
I know it was in excess of $1 million, but it may have been $2 or $3 million. I wouldn't know without having all the records in front of me.
Was that money credited back to CLNO?
Yes, they had, I think it was last November, I had seen some paperwork when I was meeting with the attorney, the U.S. Attorney General's office, and they had some records of checks and stuff that had been written back to CLNO, and that had been credited on the books.
I'm sorry?
That had been credited on the books of CLNO.
And the line of credit was, I believe you testified earlier, documented in writing, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that was to create a paper trail of that activity?
Yes.
And at the time you created the line of credit, did you believe, in 2005, did you believe it to be fraudulent?
I don't know. Could you be a little more?
In other words, you had various transactions back and forth between Financial Resources and CLNM. The sale of the notes that we talked about.
Sure.
And you were documenting that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe that some of that money taken in the line of credit was legitimate money?
I don't recall what my belief was back in 2005, but certainly I knew it was wrong to borrow that money because it wasn't my money to borrow.
Did you intend on paying it back?
Yes.
At what point did you intend on not paying it back?
There was never a point I intended on not paying it back.
At what point did you believe that you were unable to pay it back?
I didn't until the business collapsed because we had... I had that big group that I was working with that I previously mentioned, and if they had, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but that was how it was going to, that was a way to pay it back.
If you had not engaged CLNM as a commercial lender, commercial loan servicer, and you maintain the loans as direct funded loans, without any money held back,
mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Financial Resources would have survived?
It's very hard to say because the market was doing well in 05 and then it really tanked in 07, 08. I honestly don't know.
If the subdivisions were selling units,
mm-hmm.
and the real estate market had been maintained, do you feel that Financial Resources and CLNM would have survived?
Absolutely.
Were you notified at some point that the website you were maintaining was illegal?
I noticed that illegal or incorrect, yes.
And who notified you that it was illegal?
It was either the banking department or the securities department, and I do not remember which one it was.
Okay. What do you believe was the cause of the demise of Financial Resources and CLNM?
A number of factors. Obviously, the economy and the fact that real estate went down in value. Obviously, the subprime mortgage collapsing, the conventional subprime mortgages collapsing. And the fact that Financial Resources took on, or I took on, way too much of the losses instead of letting them go through. We made payments when we shouldn't have. So a combination of all of those things.
Up until the subdivisions were running a deficit, were you foreclosing on non-performing loans?
Very rare. I don't recall us having very many foreclosures at all. It was only a few.
And under the terms of the loans, technically, you should have foreclosed at the end of the bridge loan period.
That's correct.
Did you institute any foreclosure proceedings with respect to loans service through CLNM after 2005?
Yes. A few, but I don't remember any specific ones.
We're going to show you a PowerPoint and ask you some questions.
Yes, sir.
If we could shut that back light, would that be all right?
Sure.
You hit that switch, Jeff, right there. That was another one. Was National Inspection and Repair a Kansas company?
I believe so, yes.
Was David Price the owner-operator?
Yes.
Was he the individual that you committed funds to?
Yes.
Can you read that next slide?
Yes, I can see it, sir.
Do you disagree with any of that?
No, sir.
Can you read the next slide?
Yes, sir.
Do you disagree with that, anything on that slide?
No.
Is it fair to say that you stopped issuing unsecured notes in 2003?
It was in that time frame. I'm not sure of an exact date without having any records in front of me.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
No, I do not.
Did you offer to pay the Stones money back?
We did.
When did you make that offer?
Says here in February of 05. I would assume that's accurate. I know it was wintertime. And I know that when they filed the suit, we actually had the money in the account when they filed the suit.
And is that the right time frame that you offered it back, February of 05?
Yes, if that's the date that the suit was filed, then yes, because it was literally within a day or two of before filing the suit, we had the money, and they refused to take a check and file a suit instead.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
Except for the fact that I have no idea whether or not Ron contacted the Bureau. I will assume that that's accurate.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
Again, no, except for I don't have any direct knowledge of any conversation between Stone and the Bureau.
How about the newspaper articles? Were you aware of the newspaper articles?
Yes.
What were the newspapers saying?
That we had stolen the Stones' money and wouldn't pay them back is the gist of what they said.
Okay, did you agree or disagree with that?
Disagreed, because I was, like I had said before, we were ready to pay them back when they filed lawsuit.
Did you meet with the Bureau in the spring of 2006?
Yes.
Was the Stone matter discussed?
Yes.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
No, except for I'm not 100% sure of the dates, but I don't disagree with anything on that slide. Payback.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
That I don't believe the SMM Realty Trust had anything to do with that. It was the Provincial Park Realty Trust. I think that's just a typo or something.
Did the SMM Realty Trust become a co-trustee of the Phil Brilliard Provincial Park Realty Trust in January 2006?
I don't recall. whether or not that's an accurate statement, I just don't know.
Was the trust a co-trustee situation?
I don't recall. Without any of the documents, I'm sorry. I agree with everything on that one.
Now, can we flip that?
Sorry.
FRA was working with counsel and the accountant to redeem FRA's unsecured notes. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, flip. And this is the status of the company according to the state of Kansas. Do you disagree with anything on that slide? That they were in good standing other than November 15, 2004 to March 17, 2005?
I agree with that slide.
Is that it? Okay, let's go to the next one. I'll show you another PowerPoint, Mr. Farrer. Tanglewood Homes was a real estate development in Concord, New Hampshire.
Yes.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Eve Tanglewood is the developer.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the information on that slide?
Yes.
Was there a delay in recording the Tanguay mortgages?
I don't recall what the delay was. I'm assuming that you got this information from the Registry of Deeds. I don't recall a delay, but I'm not disagreeing that there was one.
And the development was built in two phases, correct?
Yes.
And there was approval for the first phase?
Yes.
And the total build-out was 79 units?
That sounds correct, yeah.
Flip back. And the first phase, was the first phase actually built?
There were a number of units built. I don't know if it was the complete first phase or not. I'm unsure.
Did you provide funding for the first phase?
We provided construction loans for a lot of construction loans, so I'll say yes for the first phase. There was, yeah, because the other loan from Wallace was for the acquisition, so yes.
So the funding from financial resources was for the first 18 units plus infrastructure?
I believe so. Whatever the first phase was, that's correct.
What was the first mortgage activity on the project, if you can recall? Does this seem accurate to you?
It seems accurate. Without having any records in front of me, it seems accurate.
And this initial $10 million, would that be for the infrastructure and the 18 units?
Infrastructure, the 18 units. Possibly some money for initial acquisition. I'm just unsure without having records in front of me.
And where did the money come from to fund those mortgages?
The mortgages that we did came from private individuals.
And you said not all units were built, correct?
That is correct.
And at some point did you give additional funding to the project?
Yes.
And is that additional money seem accurate to you?
It seems accurate. I just don't have any records to go by. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do this from memory.
Okay, well, we're going to show you a spreadsheet.
Okay.
A couple more slides here.
All right. That seems accurate.
Was there another lender involved in this transaction other than Financial Resources?
Yes, Wallace Capital.
And how were they involved?
Eves had run into them outside of anything to do with Financial Resources, and they loaned, I believe it was $2 million on the parcel.
And did they remain outstanding at the time of the collapse, or were they paid off?
They were still outstanding at the time of collapse. They may have been paid down some. I believe they were paid down some, but there was still an outstanding balance.
Flip. Do you disagree with the information on that slide?
No.
Does that figure seem accurate to you, that Mr. Tangway received a little less than $5 million towards the project?
No, because he received all of the interest, which was multiple millions.
But you testified that the loans went beyond the one-year term.
Yeah.
How far beyond?
Well, it looks like two to three years. I don't have exact dates of whenever it first started. A year after that would be beyond it.
So is it fair to say that that additional money was not dedicated to Abbott Village?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
In other words, there was no reserve for that additional interest money.
I don't know. Without looking at the file, I just don't have a way of knowing. But the $5 million is way too little, because if you counted all the interest, it would probably be, I just don't know, many millions of dollars more than that.
Do you know how many millions of dollars were spent on interest for the entire four-year period?
I wouldn't have any way of knowing without looking at the books, but it, even at a 14% on 10 million. Well, did you say it was 19 million? So that would be at least $3 million a year, just doing the math in my head.
But that money was much of that money was designated for construction costs, not interest.
No, there was some mortgages put on there that were designated for interest. The one to SMM was designated for interest. I believe. Again, this is hard to do without having all the records in front of me. I'm sorry.
Do you disagree with anything on that slide?
I don't recall a check, but I don't disagree with it.
Is that an accurate slide?
Yes.
What?
That's accurate.
Before we move on, what is Roki Consulting?
John Roki is an engineer that does approvals, plans, and specs, and designs, and approvals of real estate, of development projects.
And that was supposed to be a condominium plan for 49 units?
I believe so, yes.
And that project never received Attorney General approval, correct?
Correct.
And mortgages on that site were not closed on, correct?
Correct. They weren't recorded. That's correct.
Now, was title insurance issued to those lenders?
I have no way of knowing without looking at the documents. I believe it was, but I have no way of knowing without looking at the documents.
Would there have been valid title to those properties without proper approvals?
No, there would not have been.
So in your opinion, should the title of insurance been issued?
In my opinion, no. But I'm not an attorney.
Do you recall these mortgages to these individual?
Yes.
Lenders.
Mm-hmm.
Flip. total mortgages over $6 million. Does that seem accurate to you?
It seems accurate, yeah.
Does that seem accurate to you?
Seems accurate, yes.
Does that seem accurate to you that about $2 million was actually spent on the project?
It seems like it because the infrastructure was high. So.
What was the infrastructure and how much was it?
To the best of my recollection, it was like 1.2 to maybe 1.4, something like that. I do have all the records are out there with the Attorney General's office, but I could reconstruct it if I had the stuff in front of me.
So is it fair to say that approximately $4 million was unaccounted for that was collected?
Sure. That may be a little high because it may be more than $2 million that was spent, but it certainly is not an unreasonable number. No, it is, because we had the purchase of the land. I would say probably in the $3 million was unaccounted for would be more accurate. But again, I'm trying to do this without any records.
Okay. Next, Violet Valley.
Got it.
No, that's okay. Finish it out. Does this slide seem accurate to you?
I don't recall anything about this particular thing. I don't even recall Rice Law Office in Laconia. I just plain don't recall.
What? With respect to Tangway Homes in Beaver Pond Estates, can you describe the quality of the construction?
Tangway Homes was absolutely beautiful. It was just high, high, high-end construction. In Beaver Pond Estates was excellent construction also. That was Tom Hawley. And so they both do very good.
With respect to White Perches, are you familiar with Joseph Austin?
I am.
When did you first get introduced to Joseph Austin?
I don't recall. Mid-2000s, I guess.
And why were you introduced to Joseph Austin?
I don't recall the initial meeting or the initial introduction at all. So I just don't even know how I was introduced to him.
And did he ask to borrow money?
Yes.
And was it for White Perches?
Yes.
Does this first slide seem accurate to you?
Yes.
What was the White Birches project?
It was a lots. They had lots, and it was, I don't know, 15 or 17 units, and it was going to be over 55 condos.
Were any, please strike that. What?
That's inaccurate. It says no units have been built. I believe two units were built.
Well, we're going to show you some pictures.
Okay. Yes, I'm just going to say that sentence is inaccurate.
The sentence?
Yes. It says it appears as if no units have been built. That's not accurate.
Okay. Okay, go back. Okay, where were the units? This is kind of a terrible photograph, but that appears to be the road that goes into the subdivision, correct?
I have never personally been to the property, so I don't have any clue.
Okay, do you know where the units were built that you speak of?
They were up on the hill, from what I understand. They were up on the back of the property.
Were they built or pre-existing at the time of the loan?
To my recollection, there was a building there that he did a whole bunch of work on. I don't know if there was I just don't remember. Sorry.
Okay, we're going to show you a spreadsheet of the various loan transactions that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Does that first slide appear accurate to you?
No. It says it because it says it's a first mortgage, and it wasn't. That mortgage was subordinated. The Gatchel mortgage was subordinated. Well, it's inaccurate in the top, and it's accurate under the notes because it says the notes were subordinated, and that is accurate. But it would no longer be a first mortgage, it would become a second mortgage.
Okay, flip. Does he seem accurate to you, various encumbrances on individual lots?
Yes.
Again, seem accurate?
Seems accurate.
Subtotal, approximately $1 million?
Does that include the 300-ish that was the original mortgage?
Flip. I was getting to your question.
Okay.
We were adding up the various mortgages.
Yeah.
So I would say the answer to your question is no.
Okay.
Does that appear accurate to you?
It appears accurate. But well, no, because you're adding 510 there as assignments. That should
okay.
come off of there.
So subtract 500,000. Now do you feel it's accurate?
It appears to be at that stage.
How much money was spent on that project?
To the best of my recollection, all of it was, but I just don't recall. I know all the roads were put in, so all those little $45,000 mortgages were all spent out. I just don't know if there was still outstanding money on one of the units or not.
Well, you said roads. Was there one road or two?
I don't recall. I remember it being a road with two entrances and like a big horseshoe.
Like a loop?
Yeah.
Was it dirt or paved?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Okay. I have no way of knowing if that's accurate or not.
Flip. That's too wrong. Yeah, that valley.
That's accurate.
Does that seem accurate to you, 60 manufactured houses?
Yes.
And was the property to be leased to the purchasers?
Yes, 99-year leases.
Everything else seem accurate to you?
Everything else seems accurate.
What?
That seems accurate.
What?
That seems accurate. Yeah. Yes. No, because it says total borrowed 3.2. The 387 from McKenna and the 387 from GCX were not dollars that they actually wrote to CLNM. Those were dollars that they had put some money into the project and then taken some junior positions for their profits for putting the project together.
So you would reduce that number by 800,000?
Yes.
Okay, so that number is now 26, 24?
Looks to be
2.4.
That would be, seems to be accurate, yes.
So would you say about 2.4 was borrowed?
Sounds about right.
And how much was spent on the subdivision?
I want to say all was, but I'm not, again, without having any records, I'm not 100% positive.
Does that seem accurate?
Seems accurate.
Does that seem accurate? 500,000 for infrastructure?
Yeah. It's not accurate on the totals because you're forgetting that there's nothing in there for the purchase of the land, which was, I want to say, 900,000.
So do you believe that close to all the money was spent there?
I believe so because you got 900 plus 200 plus 750. It seems like then you get all the interest carry. Yeah, I would say that most, if not all, of the money was spent on that one.
There was previous testimony that there were three units on that subdivision, or were there two?
I do not recall. Okay, it's accurate.
The lots were deeded to the Baldy Susan Farrow Trust?
Yes.
Was any money changed hands?
I do not believe so.
Why is that?
Because at the time, there was probably more owed on the property than what was worth.
Do you agree with everything else?
Yes.
Do you agree with this slide?
Yes.
Do you agree with this slide?
Yeah, except I don't understand the partial assignments sentence. I mean, yeah, there were assignments. I don't know that they were all partial assignments. But yes.
Now, earlier you said that one of the homes was sold to a different party, not Donald Dodge. Was that
subsequent? Yeah, it was subsequent.
Subsequent to Donald Dodge?
Yes.
Okay. Was there some recording errors of the paperwork?
I will say yes. I don't recall any, but that I don't. I won't disagree with that statement. Also.
After CLNM was put in place, how many closings were done on a daily basis?
It would be, I just plain don't know. We were doing, there was some months where we would do 50 or 100 closings. There were some months where we do 10 or 20 closings. It just, it was all over the map.
That's inaccurate to you?
And two parcels, the church, two farms. Yes.
But
sign or that's fine.
What?
Some of the units. Okay, I don't know about Vermont at all. I never knew that one, and I did know about Maine.
What?
That I didn't know.
What? What? And we also noticed that were two foundations on the property. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
And they appear to be unfinished. Why were they unfinished?
Those were two of the homes that Larry was going to put in, and we just didn't have the money at the end to put them in.
Did you move Mr. Baldy around to different projects?
Yes.
Why was that?
Well, part of the juggling act.
Connor? Now, I believe you testified earlier that you supplied the various audited financial statements that Mr. Connor produced to the Bureau. Is that right?
Yes.
And you represented them to be accurate?
Yes.
Do you have any disagreement with this slide?
No. That's normal stuff. I'm okay with that.
Any disagreement with this slide?
No.
This is one of the engagement letters to you. Does that?
Yeah, he's gave me one of those every year. Yes.
Okay. What? You sign the engagement letters?
Yes.
That's your handwriting?
That's my signature. Yeah.
What? Again?
Yep. Yeah, that's my signature.
Okay, that is a confirmation. Do you know what a confirmation is?
Yes.
What is a confirmation?
It's a letter that the auditor sends out to people that are part of, that have financial transactions with the auditing company, requesting information, a backup. To say whether or not what's being said is accurate.
Does this appear accurate to you? An accurate statement?
Unrelated. Yes.
Now, we compiled information right off the audited financial statements, and you see at the bottom of that slide net income?
Yep.
Are those accurate figures?
Well, I don't know about the early years, but certainly 05, 06, 07 in there, those are inaccurate.
So if you, why are they inaccurate?
Because the revenue line included, I would count some of the monies coming from CLNM as revenue, even though they weren't, they were monies that were being borrowed.
That was, in fact, a liability to the company, correct?
Correct.
Had you appropriately noted the liabilities, in other words, the line of credit, would there have been a net income in those later years?
No.
Does this appear accurate to you?
I will say it is. I don't have any way of knowing without looking at the financials, but it looks accurate.
Any disagreement with that?
No.
Okay. Now, does this accurately, take a look at this, take a close look at this. Does this accurately, in your opinion, reflect the payoff of the preferred stock in unsecured note holders?
The preferred stock, yeah, because you can see it going down and ending up being zero by 2007. Yes. That one reflects the notes payable being paid off.
So the balance what in 2006 was $12,000?
Correct.
So a substantial portion of it was paid off by 2006?
Yes, basically all of it.
Is this an accurate number of professional expenses from 1999 to 2008, $2.5 million?
I do not know what professional expenses are.
Attorneys, accountants?
I will say yes. I think that what's included, in fact, I know what's included in there is some of the closing costs and such that were paid to attorneys. Where, as opposed to going through CLNM, we paid a lot of the attorney's costs. But I just, without having all of the stuff in front of me, I have no way of knowing. I'll say it's accurate.
What was the end result of the NIR litigation?
It never finished because they countersued in Kansas after we won in New Hampshire. And that case was still outstanding in November of 2009.
Which is when Financial Resources and CLNM closed up.
Correct.
So it's still an ongoing lawsuit.
Nobody's paid any attorneys since November of 2009, but yes, it's still an ongoing lawsuit.
With respect to the factoring notes, mm-hmm. Does this indication of payment, is this an accurate reflection of the payment of those notes?
It appears to be, yes.
And Boston Hill was a writ of attachment?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it turned into a writ of attachment. It originally was a loan.
And the bottom one is NIR, correct?
Yes.
What was the Arches?
The Arches was a... boy, what's the one that says that? Say Sandbar? The Arches was Blue Flower Inn.
What? Now, these are the notes you referenced earlier in your testimony. Mm-hmm. First one is, I believe, Creative Couriers.
Yes.
You testified that Donald Dodge created this transaction, paperwork?
To the best of my knowledge, he did. I don't know how well. I taught myself how to type recently, but at this point in time, I didn't know how to type or use a word processor. So I'm fairly certain Don created that document. I know that I didn't.
Was, in your opinion, Dodge aware that the sale of that note was fraudulent?
That the asset was not worth $700,000? Yes, he was. I believe he was aware of that.
And this was done approximately 5 days after the creation of CLNF?
Okay, it was a short time thereafter, yeah.
And did you sign that document?
That is my signature.
Did Don Dodge sign that document?
It appears to be his signature.
And this was done in the name of Financial Resources, correct?
Yes.
What was the actual value of Creative Courier's factoring note?
I don't know what the value was at that point in time. Eventually, Creative Courier's went out of business and became worth zero. But I just don't know what the value was in January of 2005.
Was it an actual company that existed?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what did they do?
They did luggage delivery for when you went to the airport and the luggage gets lost and they come and deliver it later.
Okay, flip. What we saw was some wires that postdated that transaction. Were they for Creative Courier's note?
I do not know. That's not my handwriting, and I just plain don't know.
This is the Boston Hill transaction.
Yeah.
Did Don Dodge create that document?
To the best of my knowledge, Don created that document.
Did he sign that document?
That looks like his signature, and that is my signature.
And that was done in the name of Financial Resources, and you signed that?
Yes.
Okay, flip. Now, okay, this is a confirmation to CLNM. It's not easily made out, but there's been testimony about this. Does that seem like an accurate confirmation to CLNM?
It seems accurate, yes.
And is that fictitious? Is that fraudulent?
Yes and no. Financial Resources as an entity had not borrowed money from CLNM. Scott Farah did as an individual. So, in spirit it was fraudulent, but that actual document is actually true.
Did Don Dodge sign that?
It appears to be his signature, yes.
And same for that one?
That looks like his signature, yes.
Now this is the line of credit that you testified to earlier, correct?
Yes.
And who created that document?
Donald.
Was that signed by you and Don Dodge?
Signatures are redacted, but I will say yes. I signed a whole bunch of them. So.
Okay, and so that line of credit was taken out in your name individually, not in your business name.
That is correct. If I'm reading it correctly, I believe that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
And is this the note and series on the individual dates?
Yes. I did not create that. Don created that.
And go back. This is a document that there's been testimony on reflects payments on the notes that were sold in 2005. Does this appear accurate to you?
I have no idea. That's not my writing. I just don't ever remember even seeing the document.
Do you believe or understand that those numbers correspond to the line of credit numbers and the dates?
I would have no way of knowing without looking at the data. I just would have no way of knowing.
Which was created first, this handwritten document or the typewritten document?
I have no idea. I don't ever recall seeing this document before.
Okay, whose handwriting is that?
It appears to be Don's, but I just don't know.
Does that indicate to you that the withdrawals on the line of credit were for the note sales in June of 2005?
Boy, I just don't know. I don't mean to be vague. I just don't know how to comment on a document I've never seen before, that I never recall seeing before.
You saw it yesterday, correct?
Yes. But I mean, I just don't recall anything about it or when it was created or why it was created. I'm sorry.
Can I just have a brief minute or two?
Absolutely.
To confer with counsel?
The record's still running.
No further questions.
Can we have the backlight on? Mr. Dodge, I have a few questions. Okay. From about 2000 to 2009, how frequently were you visited by representatives of the New Hampshire Banking Commission?
Generally, we were audited about every 18 months.
Were there ever any actions to suspend any of your licenses?
None of my licenses were ever suspended. We did have different things that they said we had to correct. I don't know if those are deemed actions or not, but my licenses were never suspended.
I suggested to you in 2006 there was an examination that found 52 issues with your entity. Would that seem correct to you?
There was one that was a lot, and that was at the time, it was right at that juncture that we had Gallagher's law office come in and start helping with all the compliance issues.
You were continued to be the subject of examination subsequent to 2006, is that correct?
Yes.
Were you ever subpoenaed to hearings at the Banking Commission?
I don't ever recall having to go to the Banking Commission for anything.
If I suggested to you that Peter Hilbert subpoenaed you in 2006 to the Banking Commission regarding those violations, would that refresh your recollection?
I truly don't ever recall going to any.
I showed you a document.
Sure, I'd appreciate that. I just don't recall.
Look at that?
Sure. Okay. I just don't recall the meeting. I'm sorry.
Would you agree that's a subpoena from Peter Hilbert?
I would.
But you don't recall going to the Banking Commission?
I honestly do not.
Okay, fair enough.
I wish I did.
Early on in your testimony this morning, you said something that interested me greatly. Mm-hmm. And you indicated in your testimony, in response to a question from Attorney Spill, that you indicated that from about 2005 on, you acted fraudulently, but you said FRM did not. Help me understand that concept in your mind.
I actually further on changed that back and said I was incorrect to say that. Further on in the testimony, I said that makes no sense.
So what does make sense?
I was FRA and FRA was me, and so any fraudulent action was both financial resources and me, since I controlled everything. So
you've acknowledged on the record that at least as to the sequence of promissory notes, mm-hmm. that they were in fact a fraudulent illusory scheme. Is that correct?
The source of the funds was fraudulent. The actual notes were, the intent was to pay them back. They were actually, that's why we created the notes, was to keep a record to pay it back. Some of the monies were paid back. So if you could define fraudulent better, I would.
Well, fraud is a misrepresentation of a material fact known to be true to the individual and some reliance thereon. You testified, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that lenders, individuals, who forwarded money to you through CLM, money was used in and as a result of the creation of those notes. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do you use those notes and the proceeds into those notes from lenders who were unaware of where their money was going to pay for this settlement with the Bureau of Securities?
You mean to pay off the promissory? Yes.
You did. Yeah. Knowing full well that CLNM did not have, as an entity, the funds to back those notes.
Correct.
You mentioned something this afternoon that I haven't even heard, and that's Cash Flow Consultant Group?
Yeah.
Well, what's that?
It's an organization that was out of Florida. I had no involvement in it besides that they would refer people to us to do mortgages. They were a referral source.
Okay. Yeah. You also mentioned a South Carolina company and Mr. Anderson, I believe, who you hope would bring in $100 million or $25 million to keep these enterprises of yours alive, in your words.
Not completely accurate, or let me clarify. They were talking about bringing in $100 million that we could lend out. They were going to do their own servicing. The brokerage fees generated on $100 million would be about $10 million a year.
So your hope was you were going to cover this charade with the legitimate proceeds from this? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
For 3 weeks, I listened to victims. And in many cases, I heard from the victims of loans that didn't close. I heard people would advance and send money to you through CLNM, mm-hmm. and yet these loans never closed. What happened to those funds?
They were part of the lines of credit.
So they're lost. They're gone.
Yes, sir.
Last 4 weeks, I've seen estimates of a low of $27 million to the highs of 40, with total uncertainty. As you reflect back on your practices from 2004 to 2009, do those numbers seem realistic to you?
Yes. I mean, there was a $20 million that was in the line of credit, so I believe it was bigger than that when everything gets all said and done.
Component of that would be the E. Tangway transaction, where $16 million went out, and $11 million. I'll represent to you that $11 million was actually spent, principal and interest.
Okay.
So $5 million of that is there. Is that correct? If you accept my figures, that would be a $5 million differential. Is that correct?
Correct.
Do you know who Sretka Sisak is?
Yes. She is a friend of my mom's that was one of the investors.
She's a refugee from Bosnia, isn't she?
She came here about, I don't know, 20 years ago, I think.
As a result of civil war?
I believe so.
Do you have any idea, as an investor, is she one of these people who got caught up in your actions from 2004 to 2009?
I don't know she was certainly someone who was caught up. I don't know if the loans that she funded were fully dispersed or not. I just plain don't know.
If I suggested to you, in her testimony under oath, that she testified you told her you can never lose your principal, quote, no one has ever lost anything, quote, you will never lose your capital. Do you think those are fair recollections of things you may have said to her in the process of her advancing monies to be loaned through you?
I just don't know if I did or did not say those things.
Is she a pretty truthful person?
To the best of my knowledge, she is.
If I suggested to you that she and her husband invested their life savings of $65,000 in the years 2007, 2008, 2009, and now lost every penny of it, would that seem accurate to you?
I will say that I just don't know. I just don't know what the amounts were that she did with us. I just don't know.
But that's what happened. Is my understanding correct that people would advance money to you, you would pull it in to this scheme of promissory notes, draw on it yourself, unbeknownst, without authorization from these individuals. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I have nothing further.
If I may?
You may.
Mr. Fair, Eric Forcier, State of New Hampshire, Bureau of Securities Regulation. I just want to get an understanding of what your opinion is as to whether or not Mr. Dodge was aware of the deliberate fraud since 2005.
Yes.
So it's your opinion that he was aware of it since the inception?
Yes.
What benefit do you think he was getting out of it? Why would he want to be a part of this?
It's hard to read into what somebody does or doesn't do. There was a number of the preferred stockholders were close personal friends of Don's, and I'm making an assumption here that part of what he was doing was trying to help get the ship righted so that they would recoup their monies.
So he was trying to do a good thing by being involved with the fraud, in your opinion?
You're asking me what I think.
I'm asking if that's your opinion, yeah.
In my opinion, that was part of what he was attempting to do, yes.
Who else was privy to knowing it was a deliberate fraud since 2005, besides yourself and Mr. Dodge?
No one, with the caveat being, and I'm unsure what year, it was about 2 years before everything went down, I believe. I told Attorney Gould that I had been borrowing money from CLNM, and that was the discussion that we had.
And what was his reaction?
He said that I need to pay it back as quickly as I could, and I went to him as my attorney.
Did you ever consult with him after that initial meeting?
Consult, no, but two or three times in the following years, he asked me if I had been paying the money back, and I lied to him and said, yes, I had.
Why did you continue to make donations, or at least the balance sheet and the financials indicate to me that you continue to make donations to, I'm assuming it was a church, maybe your father's church, but what contributions did you make over time, I guess?
I had over 40 charities that I would donate to on a regular basis.
And you continued to do that even though you saw the company sort of going down, I guess, in 09?
I didn't see the company going down. It was a self-delusion. I don't know how you want to say it, but I always thought that it was going to pull out, that either the real estate market had reached the bottom or that this guy was going to come in with a big score or whatever. I just always believed, I didn't believe it was going to collapse until it actually did.
No further questions.
Nothing further, thank you.
I have nothing further. Do we have any post matters this afternoon?
No, sir.
I'm going to close the hearing today. We're going to readjourn next Monday at 10. Before I close, I do want to acknowledge that Mr. Farrar came here without subpoena. I subpoenaed an awful lot of folks. He came here and has cooperated. Thank you.
Sorry.